Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
So with the winter formals are coming up, right?
That's right, Phil. Winter formals. This is time of high schools have winter formals, and young guys are, a lot of them have self-esteem issues about asking girls out. Not all of them, but some of them do. And that's why we started this Teen Tip Hotline. Because the Teen Tip Hotline helps, I think, these guys. There's a lot of kids who are driven to suicide. And that's another thing that we want to do is try to prevent suicides.
I mean, the suicide rate among teens is pretty high, but you're saying a lot of this is young men with self-esteem issues asking girls out?
You get guys who are rejected by young ladies, and they don't... You know, they don't know how to ask a girl out, and they feel frustrated. They have insecurity issues. We help these young guys deal with issues of depression and how to ask that girl out with being afraid. I mean, we walk you through the evening. We give you a couple of ideas of something fun that you can feel better about yourself. I mean, because you have to understand, a lot of these girls can be pretty cruel. And so we tell the guys how to ask these girls out and maybe have a little fun with them, too, at the end of the night, kind of get back at them. But it's nothing to...
Well, what do you mean, get back at? You mean the girls who are cruel to the guys?
Well, I mean, if you ask a girl out and she says no, and she, you know, made fun of you or, you know, gave you the cold shoulder or wouldn't, you know, take your phone calls or whatever, you might want to have a little fun with her, that's all. But the number one thing we're trying to do, Phil, is save the lives of these boys who are suicide prone.
All right, so help me through this. A young man calls your tip line. He's depressed. He asked a girl out to the winter formal, and she rejected him.
Yeah, well, what we do, we tell him to try again, promise her a special night. I mean, one of the things you can say to a girl is, I'd like to take you out in a limousine. And most teenage girls are going to absolutely go for that. I don't know, there's a teenage girl out there that doesn't want to go out in a limousine. So that pretty much sometimes does the trick. And once you say limousine, she'll say yes. So then what you do, most important thing you do, is don't act like, you know, you just worship her. I mean, play a little hard to get yourself. What we recommend, Phil, is when you go to pick her up, I do not recommend bringing a flower or a corsage or anything to give her, because most girls are going to expect that. And when you give a girl a flower, she figures she's being chased. So when you don't give her the flower, then she's like there's something wrong. Maybe you're not chasing her. Maybe she's not doing something right. The other thing we recommend, when you pull up in a limo, you don't have to jump out of the limo and go to the door. Have the driver honk, and you stay inside and have her come out. That establishes power.
All right, you're telling a young guy to, when he takes a girl out for the winter formal, to have the limousine pull up.
Have the limousine pull up.
All right, and if any guys are listening right now, have the driver honk, and she'll come out.
That's correct.
All right, now let me tell you where that's flawed. As a father, I may want to meet this guy.
Well, then you're going to have to come out of the house to meet him, because, look, you have to understand as a man, Phil, what this young man's trying to accomplish. I mean, sure, you can appreciate that, right?
I mean, well, yeah, I can appreciate that.
All right, so you got to help him out. And the father of the young girl, I help this guy out. When you hear the limo horn honk, just get up, you know, for whatever it is you're doing. It can't be that important. Go out and meet the kid. I mean, it's not too much to ask. And bring your daughter with you. Because what we're trying to do is save the life of a young man who is suicide prone, and he's trying to get his self-esteem going. So,
all right, so he stays in the limousine, the girl waits for the honk, and then she goes out.
Then she goes out, right. And again...
I can appreciate what you're saying, but I'm still a father.
Then do the kid a favor and come out to the limo. Once you're in the limo, say hello to the boy and everything else. All right, now... when the girl gets into the limo, what we recommend for the boys to do is not to comment on her outfit. A lot of guys make the mistake, and they go, you look really nice tonight and all that, and it's so predictable, and girls expect to hear that. Don't say nothing. Don't say nothing. Wait for her to say, and every girl will say it, how do I look? And then you have to say the following line, and I don't know if your listeners want to get a pencil or...
Okay, if any guys listening, get a pencil or pen.
All right. And a lot of the young men listening, they want to get a pen or pencil. So say this. When she asks how I look, say, you look fine. Because this is another place where she may think you're chasing her. Don't say you look great. Don't say you look, you know, oh, wow, you're so beautiful. Just say, yeah, you look fine. So, you know, there's a little bit of question.
So you're trying to make her feel insecure? I mean, I don't know. I understand.
Well, there's a little bit of question in her mind whether, you know, believe me, Mr. Henry, I've been with a lot of women. I mean, a lot of women. And I know women. And if you over-compliment them, you know, it's wrong. So just when she says, "How do I look?" to say, "Yeah, you know, great, whatever," and then ask the driver about, you know, who won the Laker game or something. I mean, pretend like you're talking to the driver. Have a conversation with the driver. Don't be all nervous talking to her. Talk to the driver. Ignore her a little bit. One of the things we're doing,
but I mean, for the girl here is going to feel a little insecure herself.
Phil, again, you have to understand. This is a suicide watch hotline. These young men are suicide prone. We're trying to save the lives of these boys. If they can get a girl to really love them and react to them in a positive way, we can save their lives. And so if that's got to hurt some girl's feelings, you know what? I'll take that chance.
All right, we're talking with Chris Norton, who has a teen tip hotline. How insecure young men should treat young women on a date. A lot of these guys are suicide prone because girls reject them. He has a suicide teen tip hotline that prevents these young men from killing themselves. It gives them confidence on how to treat a woman. Our number is, or in this case, a young girl, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Now, Chris, so far you've said don't give her a flower because she's going to think you're chasing her. Don't go to the door to pick her up. Have the limousine driver honk the horn and she should come out.
That's correct.
Should he get out of the car and open the door for her?
No, I wouldn't. I'd have the limo driver do that. That's why you have the limo driver do that. And it looks cooler. It looks cooler.
All right. Then you say, as you're driving along, when she asks, "How do I look?" say, "You look fine," but pretend like you're engaging the limo driver in a talk about sports scores.
Right.
All of this to make the young man feel more confident, but it also makes the girl feel worse.
No, it does not, Mr. Henry. It makes the girl feel like she's in the company of a man who has power. And that's the most important thing about making a young man not commit suicide.
All right, so how about when they get to the dance?
All right, once at the dance, don't, you know, cling to her all night. You know, have her follow you around as you go from group to group talking with your friends. Don't cling to her. Don't hang on her. And here's something, Phil, that women find very exciting, and I want guys to get this. They don't like men to edit their conversation if it gets around to sex or anything vulgar. If you're talking to your friends, don't edit yourself. Say MFF, the C word. That's a fallacy that women don't want you to say the C word. They sprinkle your conversation liberally with it.
You're kidding.
No, it almost gets them hot. I mean, it really does. So you can't...
The C word gets them hot.
No, I'm just saying they don't want to think that you're being some panty waste not talking honestly.
All right. So now you're talking and you're not hanging on her, but you're making her follow you around for the night.
That's correct. The other thing that's very important is to leave her for 20-minute periods to sneak a drink with your friends, or if you want to come back a little tipsy, that's better. You're in a limo, so it doesn't matter. Remember that, guys. Since you're in a limo, it doesn't matter if you have something to drink because you're not driving a limo. And if you go on sneak out back and have a taste with your friends and come back, you're a little tipsy. It's kind of sexy for girls to see their date, because it's manly to be able to hold your liquor, and women like that. Now, this is a lot of this sounds extreme, but again, we're trying to stop this young man from feeling rejected and depressed, Phil. That's the most important thing.
All right, we're talking with Chris Norton. He's with the Teen Tip Suicide Prevention Hotline on how to be confident around a young lady this year at your winter formal. You have talked about now something that I think is a little wrong. You said go out and have a drink with your friends.
No, but you're not driving. You're not driving.
And so you come back tipsy and the girl feels what?
Young ladies think it's sexy. They're all talking about it. They'll say, "Oh, Bobby and Bruce came back and they look like they're rat-assed or whatever, man. I can't believe it." Oh, and they'll talk about it because it's sexy.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Heather on the Phil Henry Show. Heather, go ahead.
I think your comments are moronic. I cannot even believe that you think this is something that's going to help these kids.
Yeah, I'm trying to save the life of a young man.
Yeah, you know what? You wouldn't have to protect it, because if he treats my daughter that way, I would kill him.
You'd kill him for what?
Because he's being like an animal.
Wait a minute.
You treat any human being like that, and that's stupid.
This is perfect. She would kill me because I didn't give her kid a flower.
Yeah, you know what? It's not about a flower. It's about human decency. You don't treat somebody like that.
What are you talking
about?
And maybe
the reason you've been with so many women is because you don't know how to treat them.
Look, if these young men... you know something, lady? I leave them. They don't leave me, number one. Number two, if you kill a man because he brings a limo to your house and he doesn't open the door for you, you're criminal-minded and maybe you've got bigger problems. And number three... did you actually go to a prom?
In fact, I have several. Yes, I've been to several proms.
Really?
And my father would never have allowed somebody to beep for me. That's not only disrespectful, but it's stupid.
You know, I would be interested to know how you treated men. I bet
A man that treated me that way would never have a second chance.
Well, we don't really know.
Which is probably, again, why you've been with a multitude of women.
Here's the bottom line, Heather. We don't know whether you're worth the second chance anyway, so have a nice life.
Well,
you know?
Sweetie,
all right, okay,
you must
guys.
Not be, because you've been through plenty.
Yeah, I have. And if you saw me, you'd go to bed with me.
I'll tell you what, I hope no young man listens to you because you're a moron.
Did you ever say no? Let me ask something, Heather.
You're a class-ass moron.
Did you ever say no to a man?
You're not teaching kids to not kill themselves.
Hey, Heather.
Are you crazy?
Heather, did you ever say no to a guy?
To you, babe, I would.
But everybody else does.
This is a joke. You're a joke, and you're...
I bet you they've opened up whole free clinics because of you.
All right, thanks. What is the purpose of that?
Well, you can see, Phil, first of all, that's a woman who is reacting really angry because I have secrets that men need to have. If you don't show up with a flower, check it out. This bitch is going to...
All right, I don't want any bitch talk, okay?
I'm sorry, but this woman is getting violent. It's getting violent because you didn't give her no flower. I mean, that's something to think about.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Christopher Norton. He's with the Teen Tip Hotline on preventing young men from committing suicide because they've been rejected by young women. And he's walking us through a typical evening, how a young man should treat a young woman so you feel you have power and that she will be chasing you. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, controlled by the International Jewish Media Conspiracy. Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, we're talking with Chris Norton here, and along with Lance Germain, you started this Teen Tip Hotline to help young men learn how to treat young women. Now, you know that we've gotten some calls from people who say that it is not polite.
Look, Mr. Hendry, I got to make a comment to you. First of all, we're trying to help young men not commit suicide because they've been rejected by a young lady.
All right, I understand you're trying to help them not commit suicide, but in the process, they're honking for the girl to come out. They're not giving her a flower. When she asks, how do I look, they say, you look fine, and they kind of ignore. Is this the secret to getting a woman to like you?
This is absolutely the secret. I've been with a lot of women, and contrary to what some people might think, through my choice, I have broken it off a lot of women. So I know.
So what I'm gathering here, Chris, is you are trying to get the young man to a point where he can be physical with her.
That is true. And first of all, I'd like you to understand one thing. The evening, Phil, when you take a girl out to a dance, a young man is feeling physical about her, okay? So don't make that seem like that's weird.
All right, so let's move on. Now you've got the girl at the dance. The boy has been ignoring her for the most part, and because you say that gets her hot.
That's correct, yeah.
Then what?
You have to understand that the evening is coming to an end, and I can hear you judging me, too, all right?
I am judging you a little bit, but go ahead.
You're trying to make yourself powerful and attractive, that's what I'm saying.
I understand. Go ahead.
All right, the evening is coming to an end. You have that last dance with her. Now, this is the point in the night where she is going to be very, very vulnerable. She is hoping that you like her. She's wanting your attention finally. You've been ignoring her for the most part through the night. This is the time to make your move. This is very important, and it's going to come to a shock to a lot of mothers and fathers. But I'm not here to save the lives of mothers and fathers. I'm here to save the life of young men from committing suicide. This is the time of the evening when the young lady wants to feel some physical affection. So this is going to be your first opportunity, and I'm going to just use the terms that a lot of young men use, to cop a feel, either on her rear end or a boob area.
Okay, now this is what I mean. You're talking...
No, I'm trying to save the life of a young man, sir.
Cop a feel.
Yes, sir. And also, another thing is when you put your knee between her leg, it gives her a chance to sort of ride it. And again, I know as a father you don't...
You're recommending that the guy get extremely physical with this young lady that he's been ignoring all night?
Because this is the time when she wants the attention. And again, I'm trying to save the life of a teenage boy from committing suicide.
So this is when you cop a feel and put your knee between her legs so she can ride it.
Mr. Henry, you're the one that invited me on your show.
I just want to be clear. Is that it?
Yes, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Rosetta, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Oh, my God, this man is sick. I know he cannot be running a teen hotline. Because this guy is having problems with women himself. And he
I don't have any problem with women. I got no problem getting women.
How to
get a lady
be rude and abusive toward girls. That's why we have so many people out here now, women that are being abused by guys because they have listened to people like him.
Oh, so taking a girl to the dance in a limousine is abuse. So taking a girl to the dance in a limousine.
That's his problem. He probably
hold on, Rosetta. What did you say, Chris?
So taking a girl to the dance in a limousine is abuse.
Oh, yes, the way you are talking about it is.
What did I do?
And you have no business talking about you are here to help somebody. You're not helping anybody.
First of all, I got to beat him off with a stick, okay?
You are making this kid get rejected.
Women love me. I have to beat him off with a stick.
What kind of women are they?
Hot. They're totally hot.
They must be.
They're totally hot.
Because I don't know where you get your women from.
I get them from where hot women hang out, okay?
No.
Sorry, I don't go anywhere you hang out.
I couldn't see myself even being with somebody.
Hey, can I ask you a question? Are those your teeth, or
are
you just borrowing them
tonight? You are out here training somebody's kid how to be abusive and be hateful and hurtful, say hurtful things, or do things that's humiliating to a woman.
Aunt Jemima,
and that sounds just like a guy that does not have women in his life because women can't stand
him. Well, lady, I got a lot of
women. You're the one that's being rejected by women.
Have you got any men in your life?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
really. I bet you when you take those teeth out, they really love.
Like a woman.
Hey, when you take that eye out, do you wake them up?
Oh
you
man.
Are. You are one stupid, ignorant fool.
Hey,
and you know anything?
You know, you can only tell a fat woman there's a fat in their throat.
All right. What is the point of all of this?
You arrested.
Arrested for what? Giving you? Well, I would never give you a flower.
Teach my kid how to commit suicide. How do you get his feelings
hurt? Here are people who are.
What kind of person are you?
Hey, can you say this? I ain't never birthed no babies, Miss Scarlett.
You trying to tell this child to go out here and insult a young lady?
No, I'm just saying.
Please,
you know, she can ride his knee. All right?
And you know he's going to get beat down.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, I think
he's going to get beat down for something like that.
I think the cotton needs picking, so you might want to...
Because the fact is about it, you hate women yourself.
I love women.
You're trying to get
to beat them off with a stick.
As possible. You are going to stick.
Hey, let me ask someone, Rosetta, have you ever rode a knee or you're afraid to crush his patella? Now, a lot of the things...
Okay, I don't...
She don't even know what a patella is, so what am I wasting my time
for? All right, listen, thank you very much.
Hey, listen, Rosetta, I hear your massa calling.
All right! 1-800-449-8686. The racism that you just displayed.
Mr. Henry, she was insulting me. She was making me, you know, saying I'm teaching kids, I'm preventing young boys from committing suicide so they can have a young girl give them a little.
Give them a little, huh? A little sex?
No, I'm just talking about how young men can feel better.
So now I'm gathering here, Chris, is you're getting the young man to get physical with a young lady.
Keep in mind the goal of the evening was for these young men, and also remember this was a girl that rejected him, so you want to have a little bit of fun. And here's where the fun comes in.
All right, hold on. We'll find out where the fun comes in a minute. 1-800-449-8686. I don't know that I even want to hear this. Chris Norton is with us. He's talking about how young men who've been rejected by girls for the winter formal or for the prom can get them to go out with them. And how you can have a little fun with them, too, at the end of the night. So far, he has said, when you pull up in the limousine, honk, don't go to get her, ignore her throughout the evening. You can even get a little tipsy. And finally, when you go to dance with her, that's the perfect time to cop a feel. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, Out of Bounds. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Play a little joke and keep a guy alive. That's all we're trying to do is keep young men alive.
All right, we're back on the air. 1-800-449-8686. Chris Norton, his teen tip hotline, tries to help young men who've been rejected by young ladies finally go out on a date with them so their self-esteem rises to a point where they don't want to commit suicide. I understand young guys getting lonely. I know that they feel bad when a pretty young girl rejects them, but do they have to treat the girl so badly?
It's not treating them badly, Mr. Henry. You're buying into the baloney that a lot of your listeners are laying on you.
And well, you pull up and honk the limousine horn, you don't give them a flower. How do I look? You tell them you look fine, and you keep talking to the limo driver. You ignore them throughout the evening. You go out and have a few pops off a whiskey bottle with your buddies. You come back in, you cop a feel while you're dancing with her. You have her riding your knee.
At by that point in the evening, the point is to have the girl be hot for him. You have to understand. We're trying to get the girl be hot for him. It's having fun with these chicks who have been mean.
All right, 1-800, you know, you say that there's a little fun he's going to have.
Yes, sir.
Hold on, I want to take a phone call. We'll be back to that. 1-800-449-8686. Marty, go ahead.
Listen, this guy's not proacting suicide. He's just postponing it. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. So far, you haven't said anything interesting.
Okay. You're not proacting suicide.
You're going to repeat the same thing.
Well, I'm on a cell phone here.
Well, that's too bad, I guess.
I tell you what, wherever you are, somebody needs to call the authorities and have your little tip hotline investigated.
Oh, really? Why? Because I'm keeping kids from killing themselves?
You're not keeping anybody from killing themselves. You're just setting them up for rejection in the future.
In the future. I'm guaranteed to get some guys a little if they act this way, as opposed to being, you know, like you, probably giving flowers and everything and having girls walk all over you.
Hey, you treat my daughter that way, you got a big problem on your hands, and that problem is me.
What are you going to do? You're going to kill me because I didn't give your daughter a flower?
No, I whip your ass if you treat my daughter like that at a normal.
Oh, because I pulled up in a limousine, you're going to whip my ass? She probably, being your daughter, she doesn't know what a limousine is.
Listen, all you're doing is setting these guys up for suicide, and it's real sad that you're out there doing this stuff.
By loosening your daughter on the world, you're setting them up for suicide.
It's sad that you're doing this stuff.
Hey, let me ask you something. How many guys have killed themselves after going out with your daughter?
Okay, what's the point of this now?
This guy threatened me physically.
No, you treat my daughter that way, you've got a problem on your hands.
Who's going to go out with your daughter, dude?
Let's use legal terms. Let's use terms like statutory rape.
Statutory rape?
Now, wait a minute. When has this guy ever said that he's raping the girl?
Oh, let's see. Go ahead and cop a feel, set her up, do this. What you're doing is you're degrading the girl. You're a sexist pig.
Marty.
You degrade
the guy's
girl
got a
so
point.
You can get in her pants.
The guy's got a point. You can't put your hands on that girl.
Wait a minute. This guy is talking like he's got a daughter that's hot. Somebody has to break in his daughter. Okay, that Ford extra cab's not a limo. And I'll
break in his daughter?
Yeah.
Break in my daughter.
Man, unless you did it already. I mean, I don't want to get stepped on your toes.
You know, you're sick.
I hope your little Teen Tips hotline gets shut down. I really do.
Why? When are they going to shut it down, man?
You're the epitome of what's wrong with this country.
Hey, wait. Let me tell you what we do at the end of the day. Okay? Because I think you're going to like this. Are you there?
Oh, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here. You got to say as long as it makes sense.
Say the kid's going out with your daughter, all right? At the end of the evening, he pulls out a box. It's a felt box, a ring box, and obviously the young lady wants to see what's in it, and then she opens it up, and what we tell the guys to put in it are two capsules of Dramamine.
What for?
Because that helps cut down the gag reflex.
Oh, my God. You're the epitome of what's wrong with this country. Somebody ought to shut you down and throw you behind bars.
Then you say you're only kidding.
You need to be behind bars.
This is
sick advice. Some prisoner needs to make you his bubba.
We're trying to keep young men alive. So many of these young bitches, I mean young women, I don't mean to say bitches, but they act that way sometimes, reject these young guys. And
cuts down on the gag reflex.
You know what? You're not saving anybody from suicide. You're setting them up for suicide.
Okay, that's the
Either
third
that
time you said it, man.
Setting them up for murder.
You should write a book that, you know, that's the title of it, man, so you'll never forget it.
Oh, geez. You're not saving anybody.
You're setting them up.
I'm sorry to talk to you. I really am. You're sick. You're sick. You need help.
I'm sick, so you'd rather have your daughter gagging in the limo.
You need
Will
help.
You stop it?
You need help.
What do I need?
You need a lot of help. You need help learning just how to treat people in general,
women. I don't fly airplanes in the building, so don't tell me what's wrong with this country,
You need help. You need help. You've got a psychological problem. You're a sociopath.
Okay. How about giving me help?
You're a sociopath. Right. You need help. You need. You, if I was you, I'd go check myself
and
into a mental hospital.
I'm not helping
somewhere.
Prevent suicide. I'm helping cause it.
Yeah.
Yes, you are.
Good.
All right.
You are. You're a bigger cause of suicide than anything. And if you're telling these guys,
well, then
to
do me a favor, will you go kill yourself after you get off the phone?
If you're telling these guys to do this crap,
oh God,
you're nuts. You're
trying to tell these guys
rocker.
So these young ladies will treat
you're
them with respect.
You're off your rocker, dude. You can say all you want. You
I know
can
all
talk
about
all you
women.
Want.
I know all about
BS.
Women. I know all
you're
about
off
women.
You're rocker.
Yeah.
And you treat and if you treated
you
my
like
daughter that
again.
Way, you would have a problem on your hands. You'd be in prison.
Hey, Marty, do you want to ride my knee?
Okay.
Yeah.
Look.
I want to write your name and telephone number down, and I want to find out what city you're in so I can turn you into the authorities.
Okay.
And have your little team tip hotline investigated.
Okay. My name's Chris.
Now, what are we doing here?
Why don't we give the guy my name and number?
I want to
go
turn
ahead.
This guy in
okay.
and have him investigated.
My,
na-
my number
is... People left for suicide.
My name's
murder.
My name's Chris Norton. My number is 555...
See, now I can't even give him a real
five,
number.
Five, five,
it's a bogus
five.
Number on the radio.
No, it isn't.
The guy's a
how do you know it's bogus unless you dial it?
It's
you're
bogus. It's 555, you idiot. No phone number starts that way.
It's
he's a cheese ball. Get him off the air.
No, no. It's
and turn
555.
The authorities.
Lick my ass.
Turn this guy into the authorities. I can't even believe you guys are running this on your show.
Well, I don't know what I'm going to have
thank
him arrested
you.
For. I don't know what the... Yeah? What do you want now? Let's talk to... Here's a young lady, Dana. Dana, hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
You're 19?
Yes.
Okay, Chris, here you go.
I'd just like to say that having just gotten done with all my dances, all my proms, everything...
What about the winter formal?
I went to every single one of my dances all 4 years.
Right.
And I'd like to say that if any guy had treated me like that, if he hadn't been hit in the face for using the C word in front of me or hit in the face for treating me like that, I definitely would not have been going home in that limo with him. I would have gone home with one of my friends. And if any one of my friends was dating a guy like that, I would have definitely told him off and made sure she did not go out with him again.
Well, sure you're going to say that. But is that how you really are going to act?
That is most absolutely how I'm going to act.
I
would
it.
Never let anybody treat me or my friends like that.
Okay, let me ask
and
you
I think you are a complete idiot, and it's your fault, and people like you treating guys or teaching guys to act like this that makes all these guys assholes, that makes
I
them
agree.
Get rejected,
I totally
that
agree.
Makes them want to kill themselves.
Why would the guy act like that? It's going to get rejected by a girl, then he's going to want to blow his brains out.
No, there are all these guys that want to kill themselves are the guys that go, oh, can I get you a flower? And then the girl treats her like,
every girl
like
I have
dirt.
Ever known has never bragged about a guy that acts like that.
Okay, let me ask you something.
Never, ever. All the girls that I hear, I hear them bragging about guys.
Right, right.
Oh, well, he gave me flowers. Or, you know, he was so nice, he really complimented me on something. They don't
are you
he
angry?
Ignored me all night. Didn't even give
can
me
I
a flower. And that's
language,
a
language.
Horror story.
Dana, language. Please watch your language.
You know why she's angry? Because she just found out about Dramamine. 3 years of gagging and...
Okay! Sorry.
You are ridiculous. I really hope
Dana,
that nobody takes your advice because they're going to end up in the wrong place in life.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Oh, so everybody hung up. That's fine. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Whitney Houston's dealer.
That was me doing the voice of Chris Norton in that bit. 1-800-449-8686. I was just rereading, actually, the regard to Iraq and what is unaccounted. This is what's unaccounted for. In other words, and here's what he meant by that. See, as of 98, they had this stuff. Now they don't have this stuff, and they don't know where it is. Because the last time they had inspectors in there was 98, right? So here it is. 25,000 liters of anthrax, 38,000 liters of botulism toxin, 500 tons of sarin, mustard gas, and VH nerve agent, and upwards of 30,000 munitions capable of delivering chemical weapons. But other than that, what's wrong with that? What's a little mustard gas between friends? Mustard gas? You want to hang around my house during a poker game, you'll get some mustard gas. Botulism toxin. Boy, it's wild. You know, how does he know he's got the stuff? I guess it's the scientists tell him, right? But what if I'm some guy and I'm selling, I could say I got smallpox, and it turns out to be the sniffles or something. You know, I ripped him off.
Good, this is the stuff I want.
Yeah, it is. It's smallpox, Saddam. What's your name? My name's Phil Hendry, but I hate America. I'm all for you, man. Okay, good. You're a good boy. All right. There you go. What the hell? It's sniffles. And I'm long gone. He'd find me and kill me? You trying to do? You sell me chicken pox, you dirty? Hussein's going to launch one of them smallpox missiles, and it'll turn out it's like, you know, jock itch or something. Yeah, like dandruff.
You'll see. You watch what happens when we launch the thing.
It's dandruff, you idiot.
What?
The stuff we got in the thing. We got the wrong thing. The guy ripped this off.
Dandruff? Yeah.
Hold on, we've got to put the war off for a few years while I look around for some smallpox. The Iraqi dictator is believed to have used chemical agents against the Kurds at least 11 times during the late 1980s. In the most notorious attack, Iraqi aircraft pounded this town with conventional bombs, then unleashed VX nerve gas and mustard gas on 45,000 residents. Today, statues and museum exhibits throughout the Switzerland-sized Kurdish region known as Kurdistan honor the 6,300 people killed in the 1988 Halabja incident. The March 16th anniversary date, a holiday here, is known as Martyrs Day. Jesus. But America's worse, isn't it? We're much worse. I just heard today the Canadian Consul General, she says, well, you know, a lot of America's policies brought them to this point. Okay, so what's the point of you saying that? So I get it. If we change our policies, then there won't be any more Al-Qaeda? Is that it? What's the point of saying it? Like we don't know it already. Like we don't know that we have to change the way we deal with some people. Like we didn't get the message on 9/11. Only difference is we're not going to change and treat them the way maybe Canada does, which is to pat them on the ass and send them on their way. Maybe we'll be a little bit different in the way we treat people. We might start, pondering the use of some nukes now in the future. Maybe we've been a little too soft. But I'll tell you right now, Mr. President, you get a hold of a nice batch of dandruff, I think we can... Is that covered under biological weapons? Seriously. If I... You're in possession of biological weapon. Oh, come on, it's jock itch. Who cares? You can't have that. What, are you trying to tell me jock itch is covered under the... Yeah, well, it's gotta be. Well, get out of here. Well, what do you got jock itch for anyway? Because I want to, because it's funny. It's fun. I'm just going to send over a couple of scuds with jock itch in it, and, you know. And what's this stuff, conjunctivitis? What, are you sending over pink eye now? Yeah. You some kind of a wise guy? You can't stop me. It's not in the United Nations Charter. It's a biological weapon. Pink eye? Forget it, man. I'm sending it over whether you like it or not. See, that's what America ought to invest in. We ought to invest in those weapons. Pink eye, jock itch. You know, rectal burn. Guys, gonna be the whole Iraqi army walking around with their fingers up their. Jeez, God damn! What are you clowns doing? Attack the infidel! He's at the gates. I will in a minute. I gotta get my underwear straight. The hell are you guys doing? It's wild, wild. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Here in the Phil Hendry Show, our official Western States Homeowners Association Country Club polo shirt is available now for sale. This, of course, along with our Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse bowling shirt, which is a classy, classy item. I ran into a lady in the elevator here. I was wearing my Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, and she didn't know who I was or what the shirt was. And she says, isn't that nice? That's a lovely shirt. And I said, thank you. She said, that's a wonderful way to advertise a business, too. And I said, well, actually, it's fake. It's not a real business. She says, oh, it's a joke. I said, yeah. Oh, isn't that cute? Are you Ted? I said, yeah, as a matter of fact, I am. You know? But she said, well, it's a lovely shirt. I said, thank you very much. So it looks really nice. She says, yes, it does. It's royal blue and black. Beautiful shirt. Then, of course, is our black and silver Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. Then we have the beautiful red and yellow official Phil Henry Show T-shirt. This is by popular demand. We had a lot of people saying, well, we'd love to have a Phil Henry Show shirt. We ain't got one. So how about laying one on us? So we have. And now, our Western Estates polo shirt. Beautiful shirt with the insignia of Western Estates richly emblazoned there over the left breast. And it's going to look like you live there. And people will ask you, where is Western Estates? And you can say, it's in my mind. You know, it's somewhere. It's in the other dimension. All right? So send in or whatever it is you got to do, your credit card or something. Send me cash in the mail so that it can be clearly seen through the envelope. Or order it online at our website, philhenryshow.com. Don't forget our phone number for our best of CDs is 877-616-PHIL, 877-616-PHIL. So we're going to go home tonight and try and get my Madden 2003 going. I haven't been able to play it lately because my wife, she thinks it's kind of weird. She thinks I'm spending too much time in the office on 2003. You know, I've got my little league and I play league games. But tonight she's off at some school function, so I can go directly up there and just immerse myself in my hobby, which is a fantasy world of you know, a world that doesn't exist. It's really a lot of fun. I'm going to tell you what, man. And by the way, what was that fire down the street we just saw? Was that at our favorite soul food joint? I hope not. As we were getting ready to come into the studio tonight, Aunt Janice and I hear the... every day, going down Sepulveda, I hear fire trucks. And it's always a hook and ladder. There's a fire truck right up here. I'm going to tell you right now... Well, you know what those guys are doing? They're going to lunch. That's what they're doing. There can't possibly be a fire down that street every single day. Every day... I think those guys just... pull on the horn so they can get down to Burger King before anybody else. But anyway, today, you can see a lot from that office window. And today I looked out and I saw one of the restaurants down there just burning to the ground. But fortunately, I think the fire guys got there in time. Then one time I looked out the window and I saw a car flip up in the air out on the 405. Remember that? And that backed. And then another time I saw a car burst into flames. It's fantastic. Just about 10 stories above the corner of the 101 and the 405 in Los Angeles. And the world just unveils before you. Just unfolds, man. Cars blowing up, cars flipping, flying through the air, houses burning to the ground, restaurants burning to the ground. And every now and again, a smiling face and a wave. Someone down on the street going, hey, go ahead, jump. All right, anyway, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
This portion of the Phil Henry Show is brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills, and here's Ted Bell.
Thanks very much, Phil, and don't forget to come down to Ted's of Beverly Hills, the baked potato tree. Fantastic New York sirloin steaks coming up at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
Ted's of Beverly Hills, Beverly Hills, and Ted, thanks for being on the program.
Thank you, and thank you very, very much, Phil. Thanks to Janice, and thanks to Chris Felton and everybody for allowing me to come on the program. I wanted to make an announcement on your program, and I do appreciate you affording us that time.
Well, what you're doing for our troops is admirable.
Well, I thank you for that. I think what I'm doing for our troops is unique. I don't think a lot of people, I don't think anybody's doing it, frankly.
Tell everybody, though, what you're doing.
Well, Phil, the Girl Scouts of America are going to begin selling the Girl Scout cookies in another 30 days. They'll be selling these cookies at retail outlets throughout the United States. My little niece, Rebecca Schuster, she goes to elementary school in Santa Monica, California. I have purchased in advance, because the girls are taking advance orders, $27,000 worth of Girl Scout cookies, and we are going to be sending those to our guys and gals in the Iraqi War Theater in Kuwait and in the surrounding areas. And
well, that's very good of you.
Well, I'm doing it, Phil, and this is going to be a little tough for me to say, but I'm doing it to show them that I care about them. There are some 10 to 20,000 troops over there who left home really not knowing whether anyone cares about them. And I'm going to show them that Ted Bell, Ted's of Beverly Hills, one of the premier steakhouses in America, does care, so that they know that at least one American cares, whether they come home on two legs or hobbling on a stump or in a body bag, because I think it's just... it's tragic.
Well, Ted, I think a lot of Americans care about our men and women.
Well, okay, saying it, though, doesn't make it so, and I say this with all due respect. There really isn't a lot of evidence.
What do you mean, of Americans caring about our troops?
No, exactly. I don't think there's a lot of evidence of them caring about the men and women over there. So as soon as a lot of these are on the troop ship, you know, some of these wives, I it's not for me to say, but I wonder if a young man goes to the Iraqi War Theater and he leaves the wife behind, I wonder how soon it is before she's hopping up on a bar stool. You know what I mean? It's just...
Well, I think that is the wrong assumption to make.
But the point that I'm making, Phil, the biggest point that I'm making, I'm showing those guys and gals that I care about them by sending them the Girl Scout cookies, and I'm sorry that more Americans don't feel that way.
We're talking with Ted Bell of Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. He is sending $27,000 worth of Girl Scout cookies to our men and women in the Middle East. Ted, I'm having a hard... I don't understand when you say that most Americans don't care.
Well, they're not... I don't know whether they care, but they're not showing it. I don't see anybody doing anything. I see them making a lot of statements. I don't see them doing a thing. I'm doing something. I'm doing something because I'm Ted Bell. I own Ted's of Beverly Hills, one of the premier steakhouses the last 23 years. I built Ted's of Beverly Hills brick by brick, board by board, nail by nail, and I want our guys and gals to know that I care about them. So I'm doing something. I don't see anybody else doing anything.
All right, our prayers are with the troops.
Oh, well.
You know, no, our prayers are with the troops. Our best wishes are with our troops.
Well, Phil, the problem is, again, and I don't want to denigrate what you're saying.
Well, everything I'm saying, you're coming back with, there's a problem. You are sending them $27,000 worth of Girl Scout cookies.
It's a hard, concrete, tangible, material thing. When you say our prayers are with them, and I know you mean well, Phil, but, you know, talk is cheap. And one of the great fallback positions of people who just seem to be squeezing a dollar bill a little too hard is that line that you just said, and let me, he goes, our prayers are with them. Okay.
What's wrong with that?
I don't believe in magic. I believe in...
We're talking about praying to God.
Look, you can pray and do all the things that you say you do, and you can do all the things that people do who can't bring themselves to squeeze a quarter out of their change purse for our troops. I'm Ted Bell.
Ted,
hold on. My name is Ted Bell. I care about our troops. I put my money where my mouth is. $27,000 worth of Girl Scout cookies. And I can tell you that it is going to do me and my family well, because as a result of doing something for these troops, we will, I have it on good authority, we will be in line for the antidotes for a lot of the things that we may be encountering in this Iraqi war. So...
When you say antidotes, what are you talking about? For nerve gas?
My family will be, we will be pushed ahead of the line, is my understanding, for antidotes for nerve gas, the VX, the anthrax, and smallpox, when they're made available. I have some connections in Washington.
Well, there are other families.
I understand there's other families. I don't see them giving $25,000. When you say there's other families, what's that supposed to mean?
I say there's other families who would like to have antidotes for nerve gas, too.
I don't see them giving $25,000 worth of Girl Scout cookies. So I, like many Americans, I'm nervous. I'm doing something about it, though. See, I protect my family, and at the same time, I show appreciation to the troops.
Look, I think it's very remote that we're going to get attacked by nerve gas.
Well, the effects of VX nerve gas are profound. There are convulsions. I don't want to be caught with my pants down around my ankles. So I have given $25,000 worth of Girl Scout cookies to the troops. In exchange, my family will... hopefully, and I can't be sure of this, but hopefully, my family will be one of the few families that will be able to get antidotes for anthrax and nerve gas should the war start.
All right.
There's a lot there, Phil, I know.
Well, there's a lot to chew on there. Yeah, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. I'm talking to Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, who has given $25,000 worth of Girl Scout cookies to their troops in the Middle East. And you've made the point, Ted, that you're doing this because you don't see anybody doing anything. And I, you're including me in that.
Well, Phil, I know you're a good man, and I know you're a thinking man, but I don't see you or anybody doing a thing other than saying, oh, I'm going to pray for them, and then going about your business and feeding your face or whatever you do. I'm doing something. And the reason why I do something, Phil, my name is Ted Bell. I own Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. People know me. All right? I'm going to give these guys the Girl Scout cookies, and as a side effect of that, and it's not a big one, we will be able to get antidotes for nerve gas for my family. Now, I want you to think about these soldiers over there. They're alone without any knowledge anyone cares about them. They're sitting in a foxhole. They could die tomorrow, and no one over here cares a whit. They say they do, but what have they sent them? What have they given them? What concrete, tangible things have they been given? Nothing. I've sent $27,000 worth of Girl Scout cookies. And you know what I'm saying, Phil? I've helped the troops. I've helped my family because we will have the antidote for BX nerve gas. We will have smallpox vaccines. And my family and I will be able to counteract the effects of anthrax because of that contribution. That's all I'm saying.
You know, I want to ask you something. How do you know this is going to happen?
What?
How do you know, because you gave these Girl Scout cookies, you're going to have anthrax antidotes?
Well, I can tell you this much, Phil, it better happen. Let me put it that way.
Well, that's a long way from saying it's going to happen.
Well, it will happen. It better happen, because if it doesn't happen, somebody loses their job. Somebody high up loses it. Let me tell you something. $27,000 worth of Girl Scout cookies. Now, I am not saying that I don't love our troops. I do. But I'm going to get something in return.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills with us. Rose, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I don't think that guy is doing anything for the troops. He is helping himself by getting material for if something happens.
I got $27,000.
You're getting a tax write-off.
What's
it's
that?
Just for tax purposes. Money is not the only thing you can do for the troops.
No, wait a minute.
You can help the family that are suffering.
Oh, well, you know, that's a lot of hot air. That's a lot of hot air.
Help
those soldiers cookies.
Help the family that are suffering.
All right, let me ask a question here.
Help the family that has nothing to live with.
I'm helping our troops.
Those troops are well fed up. They got food. They got everything.
Listen, Rose, they're defending you. They're defending you.
And we can support their family that doesn't know whether they're coming back or not.
They're defending you, having come to our country from another country.
You're just bragging by getting something for your life.
I got to be able to hear people. Hold on. What are you saying, Ted?
First of all, those troops are over there defending Rose, who just got off the boat 3 minutes ago, from being attacked by anthrax. And my fam, all I'm asking for is the antidote for nerve gas. That's all I'm asking for. Nothing
else.
Yeah,
but if you weren't getting something, I'm sure you weren't going to give that money. Listen to what you said. I am online.
Who?
I got friends who can get me those. What about us who doesn't have those things? Who cannot give $27,000? But I can go across my street and bring food to one of my neighbors that her son is right now there.
Oh, so because you're too
I'm
cheap.
Doing something.
Because
don't
you're,
brag
wait
about
a minute,
the money.
Because you're
you're
too cheap.
You're getting a tax write-off. Are you going to take that? You're not going to take it off on your taxes?
Yeah, well, hold on. This lady is saying because she can't afford that, why do you get a break?
No, wait. Because she's too cheap to do it. I'm
no,
doing
I'm not
it because
too cheap to do it.
You're too cheap to do something for our soldiers. I
don't no, I'm not too cheap
right
because
now,
I'm... Okay. Right now, I got neighbors. I got people that I talk to.
Everybody,
I support
those
my
soldiers
way.
Taking those cookies, they know that even through their family doesn't care. Ted's of Beverly Hills cares. We've got a terrific schedule and a butterfly to lay with the labor there tonight.
$27,000. Right. When you're filing your taxes, are you going to use it on your taxes?
Good question. Are you going to do a write-off?
I'm sorry?
Are you going to write off the 27 G's worth of Girl Scout cookies?
On your taxes.
That's my constitutional right. What, are you telling me I can't?
No.
You bet your sweet ass.
You do it, maybe you got some money you want to cover up from your business you don't want to pay taxes.
Oh, so I'm giving cookies to our troops and I'm breaking the law in your mind.
You can help someone else that is in need. Give something else to the troops.
I want to say that Ted's of Beverly Hills cares about our fighting men in the Middle East.
They already have food.
I am
they already
saying,
have
though,
food.
That I am going to hold someone
they
responsible if we don't
food.
Have nerve gas antidotes for my family.
Right. I am sure
Thank
that
you.
The government is
yes.
taking good care of our troops.
Yes,
you
exactly.
can help someone in
our
need
troops.
With that money.
What do you mean, our
okay?
troops? What,
you're
what,
just buying yourself some nerve gas thing for your family because you're too afraid,
those,
like our troops, to give your life
when Saddam
for your
Hussein,
country.
When Saddam Hussein sends nerve gas over here and you're laying on the ground writhing and convulsing, foaming
That's
at the mouth,
COVID. Whatever happens will happen.
Yeah. All right,
at
Rose.
Least my troops will give their life for us. So why not give my? If that happened, I gave my life for my country.
I'm going to ask you a straight question. I want a straight answer. Are you from the Middle East?
She's from the Caribbean. Even I can tell.
You're not from
Thank
the Middle
you.
East. You're not from the Middle East.
No, she isn't.
No, I'm not. I am from Haiti. And
oh,
I'm
Oh, yeah.
That,
there's a real joy hole.
All right. Thank you very much, Rose. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Ted Bell, who has donated. He is the owner of Ted's of Beverly Hills, which is a steakhouse in Beverly Hills, California. He's donated $27,000 worth of Girl Scout cookies to our troops in the Middle East, which I think is a very nice gesture. But by the same token, he said he's doing it because, quote, and I wrote down some of his comments, he doesn't see anybody else doing anything. He has also said that because of the donations of these cookies, he will expect that his family gets nerve gas antidotes, anthrax antidotes, and a smallpox vaccine. He will expect that. 1-800-449-8686. It sounds to me like he's not just doing that out of the kindness of his heart. This is The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Making pot brownies.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Ted, did you give money to the troops? Did you give $27,000 with the Girl Scout cookies to the troops because you wanted to do something nice for them?
Yes, I did. Absolutely. Because I didn't see the American people doing anything. I saw the American people wringing their hands and worrying about a war. These are real young men and women, Phil. Let me tell you something. I know these young men and women. I've seen them come into my steakhouse for some of the delicious steaks that we have. Young men and women who have so much to live for, but they're over in Iraq right now defending our freedom. Even that lady who called in, she was from, and I forget where it was. What was it?
She was from Haiti.
Even her. They're defending even her. So if they can defend her, they can defend anybody. And I want to do something for them. That's why I sent the Girl Scout cookies. I realize it doesn't sound like a lot, but you know what? It's a dessert. The guys eat their MRIs, and they break out the cookies. It's a lot of fun for them. And all I'm asking for my family, and I do expect it, I'm not just asking, I will expect it, will be liberal amounts of antidote for nerve gas, liberal amounts of anthrax, Cipro, and, of course, the smallpox vaccine. I will expect that. Now that
if somebody turns around and gives $50,000 worth of Girl Scout cookies, should he get that, too?
Well, look, the only guy that I know who did it was Bruce Willis last year. And he did that because he wanted to make a big deal out of it. I'll tell you something about Bruce Willis, by the way. Bruce Willis is one of these guys that loves to grandstand and be a big shot. His daughter gets an order of 27,000 or whatever the hell it was that Bruce Willis did, okay? And now he's a big shot, and she looks like a big shot. And all the little girls that are out there selling those cookies at supermarkets, they're just a bunch of pikers. So I think Willis, in his effort to be a big man and a big shot in the Girl Scouts of America, I think he did a disservice to our fighting men and women. So that's my point.
All right, but I got to ask this question.
What?
You're not trying to be a big shot?
You know, I find that to be really offensive, Phil.
No, I'm just asking.
No, I find that to be really offensive, and I'm not going to dignify it with a response.
I'm sorry, I had to ask it. 1-800-449-8686. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Jose, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, who is this guy, Ted or whatever?
Ted Bell.
Excuse me?
Ted Bell?
I'm Ted Bell, sir.
Okay, yeah. I was a Marine for 4 years. I dedicated 4 years of my life to the Marine Corps. I don't have $27,000 in my pocket to give to the government. I gave them 4 years of my life. So you're going to tell me that you're going to get anthrax vaccines if it even comes to that, which I don't know where you heard this or what top-ranking official in the Washington Post.
If it comes to it, I will expect full anthrax.
Oh, you'll expect something. So I should expect something, too, because I gave 4 years of my life, which is a lot more than $27,000.
No.
I was on the front line in Iraq. Where were you?
You were on the front line
in
Iraq.
You were at your steakhouse eating.
Were you in the Gulf War?
$27,000.
Were you in the Gulf War?
No, I was not in the Gulf War.
Well, then when were you in Iraq?
1998, we bombed Iraq. Do you remember right? We sent soldiers to bomb Iraq.
You bombed Iraq. Were you a foot soldier? You infantry?
I'm infantry. Marine Corps, 21st Battalion, Camp Pendleton.
You're sitting on the hood of a Jeep someplace.
Where were you? Where were you sitting at your steakhouse? Why don't you tell me what I was doing?
I was sitting on the hood of a Jeep. I was at,
no, wait a minute. In 98, we bombed Iraq?
97, 98.
What were you doing over there, sir?
Infantry, setting up tents, surveying area, reconnaissance.
Hey, the Boy Scout marching song. I mean, what do you want from me?
Don't make fun of the guy. He's over there with the military.
He's setting up tents.
All right, you're sending cookies.
What are you doing? You send them cookies. $27,000 does nothing on the battlefield.
Well, here, first of all, you didn't even make $27,000 in 3 years when you were in the service. Okay?
So now I can't afford the vaccine. You get it before me. Where did you hear this?
How much did you make in 3 years?
I made more than $27,000.
You did?
Yeah, I made more than in 3 years.
Yeah.
Do you think they pay us $10,000 a year?
I don't know how much they pay you. But if you made more than 20...
Can you do math? Do you understand math? Do
you
understand the concept of math?
Do you
understand how much it costs to go to war? $27,000 is not a lot of money.
My understanding is they pay you guys somewhere in the neighborhood of $9,000 a year.
Your understanding is, I lived through it. You're going to tell me you understand through what I lived through.
Look, you know what I'd like to do, Jose? I'd like to send you a box of Girl Scout cookies to show that I do care for you.
You'd like to send me some Girl Scout cookies? You'd like to send me some Girl Scout cookies?
Yes, sir.
Why would you? I don't need Girl Scout cookies.
Well,
I don't need your help.
You're complaining about it.
You obviously need help.
Are you bitching?
You obviously need some help. Excuse me?
Are you crying because you didn't get your cookies? I'm sending
cookies. Yeah, I'm crying because I didn't get my cookies. That's what I'm crying for.
You know, Mr. Henry,
why don't you go over to Iraq? Why don't you really go do something?
Because I've got a steakhouse to run, all right?
Because you have a steakhouse. That's a big deal, you know. You're talking about America's not doing anything. I did everything. I dedicated my life to the service.
Ted, you're not talking about the men and women who served. You're not saying they didn't do anything, are you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the guy tells me he sits on the hood of a Jeep.
I sat on the hood of a Jeep. I never said that.
You think when
America bombs a country, they don't need foot soldiers over there telling them where to bomb?
$27,000 worth of Girl Scout cookies is 6,750 boxes at $4 a box.
You said $27,000 worth of Girl Scout cookies. What's that going to do to a dead soldier?
How about two boxes and a gift certificate to our restaurant?
All right. Hold on for a minute. Ted Bell is sending Girl Scout cookies, and because of that, he thinks he should get the anthrax vaccine. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
They got a nuclear submarine, too.
I don't know that they're going to do that for you. Ted Bell is with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. The man has donated $27,000 worth of Girl Scout cookies. And you say because you care for the troops.
No, I don't think I have to. You keep asking me to qualify that, Phil.
No, I believe you care for our troops. But you've also said because you've donated the Girl Scout cookies, you want anthrax inoculations for your family. You want to be able to steer a nuclear submarine. Is that correct?
Yes. Absolutely.
And you've also said, and this is the part that I find most insulting, you want a plaque at Arlington Cemetery.
Why do you find that insulting?
Why would you get a plaque at Arlington Cemetery?
Because, Mr. Henry, at a time when the American people are doing nothing but paying lip service to our effort in Iraq, Ted Bell, and I'm Ted Bell, is doing something concrete.
1-800-449-8686. Renee, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, Ted Bell, you ain't nothing, man. You're like Michael Jackson. You want to go up in the space shuttle to Mars next time, too, just because you got money.
No, not because I got money, because I'm doing something for people. What are you doing?
449-8686. Here's Alex. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, this fellow, he's talking, but he's not a vet, but he feels like he ought to have been one. think he should go join the wall.
You know, I care very deeply about our veterans, and all I want to do is to be able to have a plaque at Arlington.
Yeah, well, you can earn a plaque at Arlington. I ain't got no problem with that. But I'm a disabled vet from Vietnam, and I spent over 27 years.
You're a disabled what?
Veteran from Vietnam, and I spent 27 years.
Are you
with veterans' families who happen to have needs?
Right. Did you say you're from Vietnam?
Yeah, I'm a veteran.
No, he was in the Vietnam War. He's not from there.
No, he said he was from Vietnam.
No, well, I lived there. My life is left there. You know, I was from here, but born right here. But I fought 2 years in the Nam.
Oh, you're in Nam.
I'm still in the war. The war ain't finished yet. You spent some of that money that you got there.
Would you like a box of Girl Scout cookies or, you know?
Well, I don't need the cookies. I just need you all to be real. If you got this money, you want to support around. I think the day is coming real soon that you won't be able to brag about how much money you got, because you'll wake up one morning and I think the money ain't going to be worth the burn. And
Sir, can I ask you a question? Could you remove the sandwich from your mouth when you're talking so that
I can understand?
I'm traveling through New York City. What you expect it to sound like? And at the same time, now, you know, I'm headed to Kingston, North Carolina. That's where you want to find me. And I can have you to, you know, help take that money and help some of these veterans that need your help.
Well, I totally understand. What I'd like to do, Alex, at this time is give you a box of Thin Mints.
Well, you talk to those veterans that ran out in the front of the White House right now.
Yeah.
Dying on the park benches and laying up right now.
Have you thought about, Alex, I realize what you're talking about. Have you thought about it?
You want to showboat. You want to showboat with your money, but don't make you a man.
No,
The fella can tell you about being a man. You can't be a man because you're going to kill somebody.
Have you thought about
and run around here causing wars?
No,
with
I just
money.
Simply want to make the suggestion that you and other veterans, have you thought about reenlisting, and that way you can get to
what do you mean,
I don't need to reenlist, Dad. I just told you I'm still at war. I'm still in the armed forces.
Do you want
to
reenlist
to meet you so I can tell you how to act? I'll show you how to act. You need to consider that your money don't make you a man.
Well, all I want to make sure of...
You're not man enough to go fit in the office and cemetery.
Not man enough.
I
donated $27,000 worth of Thin Mints.
Poor white, poor Chicanos, poor Puerto Rican. Those are the only ones that fight the war. You got money, you're sitting back here playing games.
Now, I'm not playing games, but I feel that my money at least should ensure me the chance to steer a nuclear submarine.
Well, you're going to steer one in your dreams. I hope you are happy telling that.
You know, you got to be nuts. You think you're going
to
steer a nuclear...
I'm so used to fighting with you. You got it all made up. You got your mind made up.
Well, no, I want to do something for the veterans, but all I can give you now are the Thin Mints, but I can't...
Well, you forget the Thin Mints.
I'm telling you, Alex, when the little Girl Scout approaches you outside
I think you're playing devil's advocate.
No, I want to tell you this, and I mean this. When that little girl approaches you outside Vaughn's, tell her to piss off because Ted Bell's got you covered. I would have sent you the box.
You do.
All right.
You're doing a good show.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Alex, for your call. What do you mean you want to steer a nuclear submarine?
I do. It would be fun.
Harding, hello, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil.
Yes, sir.
I'm a Navy vet. I was SEAL teams in Vietnam. I was also nuclear submarines right afterwards. The only people that get into Arlington Cemetery in any way are those who have earned the right. You have to have been active duty. But even now, it is closed because it is full, especially with those who died for us in World War II, Korea, Vietnam. The man doesn't deserve to go there. To drive a nuclear submarine, you don't buy your way.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, the Girl Scouts is a private organization and quite honestly is sexist. You're not allowed to be in if you're a boy.
Harding, could you stay on the line with me? Because I've got another veteran. He's a Korean War vet. Is this Lloyd?
Yes, sir.
Lloyd, how are you?
Yes, sir. Am I on the air now?
Yes, you are, sir. You're on with Harding. You're a Vietnam veteran, right?
That's correct.
Well, the gentlemen of Vietnam, first of all, let me say God bless you to the Vietnam veteran. I was with the United States Navy at Cho Sinh Reservoir, Korea, 1952. And we helped the Marines out of the reservoir there. And this piece of garbage that you're talking to right now, let me tell you something. If I was in the Navy right now with this guy, what we used to do with a guy like this is we'd leave him where we found him.
What's that supposed to mean?
You know what it means. We'd leave this guy where we found him, and as far as the Thin Mints, you could take your Thin Mints and you could shove them right back up your you-know-what. Hard-On, tell him what I'm talking about.
Yeah, this
His
guy,
name isn't Hard-On, it's Harding.
I'm sorry.
Well, Hard-On, that's fine. That's what some of them called me.
Yes, sir.
I was a sniper up along the Ho Chi Minh Trail for a while, and then I with the Navy SEAL teams, and then I spent the rest of the time in nuclear submarines, 2.5
really?
Years.
That sounds great. Oh, shut up.
And this this guy who's, you know, thinks he's great because he sells Thin Mints. So what? I buy almost as many Thin Mints as he sells. Who cares?
Well, I'm talking about donating Thin Mints to our veterans.
Let me tell you something. Is your name Ted?
Yes, it is.
I'd leave you butt up with a flower in it where I found you.
Now, this guy, Arlington Cemetery is something where you have to earn it.
That's exactly correct.
The same thing with driving a nuclear submarine. It's like when people say, oh, the rich, they're lucky. No, they earned it. You've got to earn it.
Well, that's what I earned my buddy Harding, and that's why I want to give a box of Thin Mints and the special peanut butter Mints to every veteran.
You know, if you mention Thin Mints,
you can give it to every veteran you want to, but
you
mention
it one more time.
Entrance. That doesn't get you entrance.
You let him know, Hinden.
Where people have given their lives. You can give your money
all
you want to. They gave their lives for their country, and the only people that deserve to be in there are those.
Well, that's true. Arlington Cemetery is a military cemetery for heroes.
Yeah, that's exactly
that's
right. Mr. Hartman is saying the truth.
His name is Harding.
It's not Mr. Hartman?
Harding.
Harding.
I'm terribly sorry. I've got a hearing problem that goes back a number of years.
Well, can you hear this? I think you're a real piece of crap.
Huh?
All right. Listen, both of you guys. Thank you very much.
Hard-On?
Mr. Harding, thank you, sir. What? Hello? You there? All right, there is Harding and Lloyd and Ted, and I did the voices of Ted and Lloyd, but Harding, he was on his own. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block. And now, Phil Hendry.
I had this question. It's a legitimate question. I want to answer it seriously. It was a question that came to me from the people that handled the clearance of the Phil Hendry Show across the country. And the question was this. Phil, we know you do essentially a comedy show. If we go to war with Iraq, what will you do? And the answer is simple. The answer is as simple as simply going back and remembering what we did after 9/11. Our radio show will do news commentary as good, most probably better, than any other show on the air right now. In other words, we can do all the laughs, and I can stop down and do serious news commentary as well, if not better, than anybody on the air. I don't care who you want to mention. We did it after 9/11, and we're going to do it if and when we go to war with Iraq. So if that answers the question of the stations that carry our show. Now, you know, I know there's a lot of people say, oh, he does a lot of shtick, he won't be able to do it. Fine. Do whatever you're going to do. Think whatever you're going to think. Whatever you put on the air to replace me after the war with Iraq starts, if you think that we're doing too much shtick, ain't going to be one-tenth as good as what we do. We can stop and do commentary. We can stop and do comedy. We do it all on this show. We do it all. Maybe that's, maybe we shouldn't be doing it all. Maybe we got to do just one thing or the other. But I like to do it all. I do it all. I go anywhere. Anytime, anywhere. Just like Robert De Niro in Taxi Driver. Anytime, anywhere. And I know, Bud, you're going to be handling a lot of the producing.
That's correct, Phil. We're going to be handling the producing on your show, and we want everybody to know that when news breaks, we will have specific moments. There'll be sounders that we use.
Now, that's good. Tell people what a sounder is.
A sounder is a is an audio identifier, so you know that breaking news is happening.
All right. Do we have some of those?
We do. When you hear this sound, you'll know that there's breaking news. Now, the thing,
will you turn that off?
No, that's it.
Turn it off. What is that?
That's when everybody want to know the news.
You're telling me that when I say, all right, folks, now an Iraq update, we're going to hear that.
Yeah. What's wrong with it?
Because it sounds like I'm freaking down on a paddle boat somewhere. If I was doing updates in the Civil War, that might be good.
All right. Well, we've got a number of them, Phil. Go ahead and give the intro. I'll give you the other one.
Okay, good. This is Phil Henry. Let's stop down now for another Iraqi war report. What the hell is that?
What?
It's a freaking horn. What am I doing, an Iraqi report from Ringling Brothers? Turn it off. Yeah, hi. Well, enough about the circus.
Look, I don't know what you want.
I want something that sounds like a news sounder, so that when I go into the news, it sounds like something. Not a freaking horn.
All right, here's one that I think you'll like. Go ahead, intro it.
You're sure?
Yes, I'm sure. Trust me that much.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, stop down now for another Iraqi war news report. What's that?
It's a clock.
What's that got to do with anything?
Well, how about if we put them all together? See? What do you think?
You trying to get me pulled off of stations? Is that it?
Right, I can't hear you because of the clock.
Turn it off! Are you trying to get... Dickman, I'm going to kill you, man. Get out of here.
Don't hurt me.
Get out of here. I'm on the air here trying to let people know that what we're going to do is...
Oh, you're full of crap. You can't talk about Iraq. You don't even know where it is.
My ass, I don't know where it is.
You don't know where your ass is?
I know where that is, and I know where Iraq is, too.
Well, you're confused.
Look, pal, just as I was saying to these people, don't worry about it. When news breaks, we're on it. Jesus. Everybody's so, like, freaked, you know. Hey, man, we got to stop down and do serious news. Let me tell you something. There isn't news. Sometimes there just isn't any serious news. And I'm going to tell you something else that we've found out the hard way over the last 2 months. The Iraqi war, the war with Iraq, this is the truth. The war, the potential war, the possible war, the maybe not the war, with Iraq is of little interest to the American people. I don't care who you are or what you think. It's of very little interest to the American people until it starts. Because we have found out over the last 6 weeks that when we even attempt to do a topic related to Iraq, it's just a big, fat yawn. And so we have avoided talking about it, at least with the audience. When the war, if, God forbid, it starts, but if it does, then people are going to want to talk about it. So we found that one out the hard way. And when it starts, we'll talk about it, and we'll talk about it with some intelligence. We'll talk about it with absolute clarity, because we're going to know what it is we're talking about. And we won't sound like 90% of these other clowns that spend like 12 months out of the year talking about Iraq anyway. When they finally get into it, they got nothing new to say. Don't worry about it, baby. All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show. We got a few other things to tell you about. One of them is our official website, The Phil Henry Show website. If you want to listen to audio from our program, if there was a particular hour that you wanted to hear and you missed, if there's a particular bit that you wanted to hear and you missed it, you can go to our audio archives. You can look up our 30-day archive or our classic audio archive and listen to any and all bits that we've done down through the last 7 or 8 years in various incarnations of The Phil Henry Show in a lot of different cities. In fact, the oldest bit we got on there, I think, is from Minneapolis back in 93. It's all on our website, philhenryshow.com. Along with that, we have a souvenir shop. The official Western Estates Homeowners Association Country Club polo shirt is in. By popular demand, Bobby Dooley, president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association, has designed a beautiful polo shirt, 100% cotton peak shirt, in navy blue, featuring a well-knit collar and cuffs and a two-button placket, and the official Western Estates crest richly emblazoned and embroidered on the left chest. The same insignia you'd see emblazoned on the gates of the community if you were lucky enough to live there. $29, $8 shipping and handling, but believe me, it's worth it. It comes in the medium, large, extra large, and double extra large. We got that. We got a real interesting email from that guy from Alaska telling me that I was a fat creep, and so was he, and all he wanted was his big shirt. I don't know if we're going to do the, you know, 5XXXXL, but we'll try. So it comes in medium, large, extra large, and double extra large, and all you have to do is go to our souvenir shop. You can order it online. You can also get the Best of the Phil Henry Show CDs. Our CD for 2002 is out. It is a double CD for the same price as a single CD. We've doubled up the material on this year's CD. And you're only paying the $20 that you paid last year. So it all goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. And to get that, you can either order it online or call this number, 877-616-PHIL, 877-616-7445, to order the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We eat kittens.
Threat of military action in Iraq. What does the frontline soldier think? What does the young man or woman who is about to be thrust into this spearhead, if you will, how do they feel about this? We were unable at this late notice to get individuals from the Army or Marine Corps, but we were able to contact a military academy here in the Los Angeles area, Belmar Academy in Altadena. We have one of their junior cadets on the line, R.C. Collins. We thank you, R.C., or Cadet Collins, for joining us.
My pleasure.
All right, R.C., what is it that a young man or a young woman in the military today, what are you thinking about with the war just weeks away?
Well, we really want to serve our country the best way we know how, and we'll do what it takes. We realize that this is a war that is going to be tough, and we know that we're well supplied and we're well trained, so we certainly are going to do everything we can. We want to be able to deal with the fear, and of course that's always the tough part.
It is, well, when you say dealing with the fear being the tough part, isn't that a normal emotion?
It is a normal emotion, but it doesn't still help you if you're afraid of death. And so many of us have gotten together and asked if the Pentagon can assure us that we can quit the military if we feel our life is in too great a danger. Then we're happy to go.
But a soldier's life is always in danger. That's what soldiers do.
Well, Mr. Henry, that's true, but me and some of the guys were talking, and this will be interesting for you to know. We realized something. President Bush is the commander-in-chief, and as such, he's the highest-ranking military member of the military. But he is in the military nonetheless. If his life is in danger, I don't see it. See, that's the thing, see? That doesn't quite add up. If he's asking me to risk my life, but he's still in Washington, sleeping in a bed and eating steak and eggs for breakfast, I don't quite see how that's risking his life. And that's why a lot of rank-and-file soldiers in the Army and the other branches of the service want a clause in our enlistment contract that says, if we feel suddenly that the risks are too great while in the combat theater, then we can tender our resignation to our nearest superior officer. And we would request that we are then evac to the nearest troop ship.
But if you're in combat and you want to be able to quit and be evac'd, as you call it, and that means evacuated?
Yes, sir.
And you want to be evac'd, and you have to resign to the nearest highest ranking person. Maybe that's just a corporal. I don't understand how that works.
Well, I would resign to him, yes, sir. But then he needs to find a higher rank for him to resign to him.
If you're in the middle of combat, this is your duty. This is your role as a soldier to fight, right?
Well, Mr. Henry, let me enlighten you.
My name is Hendry.
I'm sorry?
My name is Hendry.
I'm sorry, sir. Mr. Hendry, getting shot is not a problem. I'm not afraid or scared of getting shot. I'll walk right into a submachine nest, a submachine gun nest, and toss grenades, and I'll wipe everybody out. I'll go up on a tank and throw grenades down the hatch if I have to. Now, that's not what I'm afraid of, Mr. Hendry. What I'm afraid of is smallpox bugs and anthrax bugs and the nerve gas. And let me tell you what, that's just a little hairy for me. I mean, you know, I can see what you're saying.
Well, I mean, but that is the modern warfare.
But that's just a little hairy for me. I signed up to come back to the appreciation of my fellow citizens. I didn't sign up to come back in a body bag. You know, I want to come back with Saddam Hussein's scalp hanging from my belt. But if you're talking about nerve gas, that's a little hairy. And I'm simply saying that while I'm over there, if I get a funny feeling that I'm scared, then I can resign my enlistment to the nearest highest-ranking person and then wait in the chopper for the pilot to be finished to fly me home.
The chopper?
Now, they would have choppers available for our eventual evac.
All right, R.C., I'm talking to R.C. Collins. He's a military cadet at Bradley Military Academy. You're ready to fight for your country?
Absolutely.
You're ready to go to war in Iraq?
Yes, sir.
But you also reserve the right to quit if it gets too hairy?
Yes, sir. That's the right of any soldier. I simply want to do what President Bush gets to do, and that's not even have to wear a uniform if you don't want to. And he's in the military because he's the commander-in-the-chief.
All right, if you're in the middle of a fight and you say it gets too hairy.
Yes, sir.
Then you want to be able to turn to your commanding officer and say, I'm resigning, and he'll send you to the chopper.
Yes, sir. I mean, you'd say, sir, I'm resigning my enlistment, and he'll say, all right, evac to the chopper, and we'll send you back to the ship.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. It's a very unusual proposal by this young military cadet and others in the military, that while in the war theater, if a young man, a young soldier, feels that his life is in imminent danger, he should be allowed to resign, and then he would be evacuated to the troop ship. 1-800-449-8686. I don't know how that happens, though, R.C., if you're in the middle of a major firefight. And you think the military would consider this in the middle of combat operations?
Well, if it got down to it, Mr. Hendry, I can tell you that I'm very proud to say my father is William Collins. He is a very significant player in the import-export business. And if he's got to hold some people's feet to the fire, he will. You know, if
you're saying your father has influence in Washington?
Yes, sir. I mean, if he gets a hold of Colin Powell's you-know-what, he'll have them squealing.
Well, all right, do you think the American people would agree with this, that they want their soldiers resigning in the field?
Well, it's not up to them. They're not over there risking their necks. I am. The American people, most of the American civilian population, with all due respect, would pee in their pants from fear if they were over there. That's why only certain individuals like me are chosen to go over there.
Okay, now here's it.
And I know what you're going to say, but let me tell you, if it gets too hairy for me, then I guarantee it's too hairy for anybody.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Only people like you can handle it. But if it gets too hairy for you, then nobody can handle it?
That's it. That's how I feel.
Well, you know, it's possible you'd have to have all of our combat troops resigning and going home. That could happen.
Then it's not worth it.
If you have all of the troops saying, this is too hairy, I'm resigning, I'm going home.
Look, World War II wasn't that tough compared to Iraq because they didn't have anthrax bugs to worry about or the smallpox either. That's why they didn't, the guys would have quit. But obviously it wasn't that bad. See? But Iraq...
All right, so they didn't resign in World War II because it wasn't as bad as what Iraq's going to be.
That's right. See, World War II, that's going to be... That'll be a walk in the park compared to what Iraq's going to be when they have anthrax bugs and everything. That's why we are asking, we're asking now, but we could demand at a future date, we want the freedom to resign if it gets too hairy. Don't get me wrong, me and my fellow cadets are ready to eat, just slit Iraqis' throats and eat our own guts, but we do want the right to leave if we want to.
You're ready to slit some Iraqis' throats and eat your own guts, but you reserve the right to resign and to be evac'd out of there if it gets too hairy.
Yes, sir, and I think, you know, by the tone of your voice, you don't understand, but I think that's reasonable.
1-800-449-8686. On the eve of a war with Iraq, this cadet and others feel that if things get a little too hairy over there, if things get a little too, as he says, life-threatening, they want some... guarantee that they can resign and leave. They want to have a chopper available so that any soldier who feels it's too dangerous can get on the chopper and be evacuated out of there. I don't know how you conduct a war that way. He says that it's not likely that he would do it unless they drop nerve gas. Then they want to be able to leave. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Should soldiers be allowed to quit in the middle of a war? 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show. Let's go to a phone call and we'll take a break. This is Joel. Go ahead, Joel.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, if that young man is on the other, if he can hear me, I'd like to slap the snot out of you. You military service requires discipline. It requires commitment.
How do you know?
Because I was in 13 years.
Do it.
I have values that the military instilled in me.
Was you in the war?
Let me.
Was you in a war? No, you weren't.
There was.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let me go to war.
See, that's it. That's what I'm talking about.
Look here. You can't.
I'm talking about you in the middle of the military to be able to quit.
You little asshole. If you don't want to stay by your comrade's side, don't go. But you can't go and then just up and quit on them.
If it gets too hairy.
If it gets too hairy, if it's going to get hairy, don't go. You don't leave your comrades.
No, I'll go.
You don't leave them.
I'm not deserting. I'm asking permission to quit.
It's desertion.
No, it's not. If I get permission,
you don't need. If you think you're going to, it's going to get too hairy for your pussy little ass. Why do you think?
Wait,
why do you have
second,
to go in the first
wait
place?
Wait a second. Who you call a pussy? You never went to no war. I might go to Iraq.
I'd love to go to Iraq. I'd like to go right now.
Well,
but I'm 44 years old. They won't take me back.
Well, I'm going to go over there too, but what if they start dropping anthrax? That's when I want to be able to quit.
Then we...
I don't understand. How do you quit? You're a soldier. How do you quit?
We want a guarantee from the Army simply, Mr. Henry, that if it gets too hairy, we can say to our superior officer, please evac me back to the troop ship.
Why bother going in the first place?
Because it might not be that scary.
You don't go. You don't volunteer for military service if you're afraid of. You go find some civil job.
If I get scared and I ask them, can I go home? They'll probably say yes because father has a lot of pull.
Oh, what's your father's name? He sounds like this guy on Seinfeld.
Your father's name is probably
Art Vandelay.
No, it's William Collins, sir. My father is in the import-export business.
And you said he was going to grab Colin Powell by the short and curlies, huh?
You better believe it.
Well, you know what? I think Colin Powell, as a former general, as a former chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and as a very formidable soldier, would kick your father's ass right back into his limousine. What do you think of that?
Pretty brave of you on the other end of the phone to say that.
Yeah. All right, Joel, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Should soldiers be allowed to quit in the middle of combat if things get a little too hairy and if they feel their lives are in imminent danger. Some people are floating that proposition. We have young Military Academy cadet R.C. Collins on the phone who seems to agree with it. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, controlled by the International Jewish Media Conspiracy. The Phil Henry Show is back.
R.C. Collins is a cadet at a military academy north of Los Angeles, Belmar Academy. It's Bradley?
Yes, sir.
Bradley Military Academy north of Los Angeles. You are in favor of a resolution from the United States Armed Forces that would allow a soldier, if he felt his life was in imminent danger, he could quit his commission and leave the combat area and be choppered out of the area?
Yes, sir.
All right. I have to agree with a lot of people, before we get back to the phone calls, that it is impossible for an intelligent person to leave while combat is going on.
Phil, I want to say there's many soldiers. There'll be many soldiers who will stay and fight because a lot of them don't have the type of education to know when it's dangerous. I know when it's dangerous. And that's when I'll raise my hand and ask to go home, because I've been the beneficiary of a good education.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Kurt. Kurt, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes. You have never been to war yet. You have never been across the pond to fight any kind of an enemy. All you are is sitting in a school learning how to be a cadet. If you have not been in war, then you have no right to say what you're saying. If everybody from the day this country started put up what you want to do, we wouldn't have the country we have today. I was in Vietnam. I spent a year over there. I came home with one kidney and one rib missing. And
see?
You think because it got scary, I was going to give it up and say, oh, I want to go home, Mommy. Come and get me?
Well, I think you're overreacting, sir. I think that
I don't think
if you'd been able to raise your hand and say, I'd like to leave now, you'd have a kidney today and a lot of other things.
No. It's not in my vocabulary to resign or to surrender, and that's all you're doing is surrendering because it's getting too tough.
But see,
here's
the difference.
That's why you joined the military, to protect our country, not because it got a little squirrely or hairy and you want to go home to Mommy. I'm sorry.
I didn't say go home to Mommy, Mike.
Well, that's what you're doing.
Well,
you're coming out of the bath. You're going to take your marbles and go home because they're picking on you.
My father is very close to certain individuals in the Bush administration. He'll have them screaming, Uncle.
I don't care I don't care what he does. If everybody in the military thought the same way, we wouldn't have the country we have today.
Father,
and all our military that have given their life for their country could hear you, they would come back to life and beat the daylights out of you.
Oh, yeah?
And I would love to be one of them.
I'll bet you a lot of them would have said, I wished I could have raised my hand and goat, but
no,
they didn't.
Because they believed in something, and that was to keep our country free. And that's what it's all about.
R.C., I want to ask you a question. There's a man that my in-laws know. He lives out in Palm Springs. His name is... His name is Mr. Page. I think his first name is Mitchell. He's a Congressional Medal of Honor winner. He won the Congressional Medal of Honor at Guadalcanal. He picked up a machine gun. He held off a Japanese company while his men were retreating. He's alive today, and much to the great respect and gratitude of his country. Do you think he would have raised his hand and said, may I go now?
Yes, sir,
no.
I do. Yes, I do. Because, I'm sure the guy's all by himself with a machine gun with a bunch of monkeys bearing down on him, and he's going to...
What do you mean, monkeys?
You said Japanese.
We're not talking about racism here.
No.
Well, but he would have been scared.
Of course he was scared. He was probably peeing in his pants scared. But he did his job.
He had the right to turn and run with the others, and he didn't. He let them retreat, and he protected them.
Wait a second. I don't believe what you're saying, Mr. Henry. He held a machine gun, and
he went from position to position as his men lay dying and fired all the guns until he got reinforcements. Mr. Page is living in Palm Springs. He's alive today. He's a Congressional Medal of Honor winner, and he is a remarkable man. And you're telling me he would have put his hand up and said, I want to go now. What do you think this is? Fifth grade where we can take a pee break? Just
exactly.
Go off and...
You know something? I'm not saying, see, did he have to suck nerve gas? No.
You don't know if you're going to get nerve gas yet. When you do, you'll be too late anyway.
How are you going to know? Did that guy, Mr. Page, wear a red bandana?
No, why?
He didn't wear a red bandana.
No, he was a freaking Marine.
Because Rambo and...
Forget Rambo.
This boy needs to grow up.
You think Rambo's
going to
raise
world.
His hand and then go, hey, I'd like to leave. This is Rambo, I'd like to leave.
You know, you can laugh all you want, Mr. Henry. All I'm saying is, hey, I'm ready to eat my own guts and slit some Iraqi throat. But what if it gets hairy?
Then stand and fight and make it not hairy.
What?
Yes, that's what you do. You just fight through the fear. Thank you very much, Kurt, for your call.
You knowed a Congressional Medal of Honor winner?
No, I don't knowed him. My in-laws know him. He's a very elderly man now, but he did that. He was on Guadalcanal, he had the machine guns, and he held off the, And what do you mean a bunch of monkeys bearing down?
Forgive me.
1-800-449-8686. R.C. Collins is a military cadet who believes today's fighting men and women have the right to resign in the field, to quit, and to get on a chopper and get out of combat if they feel their life is in danger. Sounds ridiculous to me, but there's a movement afloat. He says he's ready to fight for his country, but if it gets a little hairy, he wants the option of being able to quit. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism. Show 1-800-449-8686.
RC, you there?
Yes, sir.
RC Collins is with us. He's a cadet, and we're going to get back to the phone calls. You say you want the right to be able to resign or to quit if it gets too hairy.
Mr. Henry, this is going to be a very frightening war with nerve gas. I'm willing to go, and I can fight the Iraqis, but I want to just have a little ace up my sleeve in case it gets hairy or not.
Okay, listen to this. I want you to listen to this. This is Mitchell Page. This is a gentleman that my mother and father-in-law play, golf with. He's an elderly gentleman, lives out in Palm Springs now. Mitchell Page.
Is this the man who won the Congressional Medal of Honor?
Yeah, listen. He was a platoon sergeant with the Marines. He was on the Solomon Islands on October 26, 1942. For extraordinary heroism and conspicuous gallantry in action above and beyond the call of duty while serving with a company of Marines in combat against enemy Japanese forces. When the enemy broke through the line directly in front of his position, Sergeant Page, commanding a machine gun section with fearless determination, continued to direct the fire of his gunners until all of his men were either killed or wounded. Alone against... Hold on for a minute. Alone against the deadly hail of Japanese shells, he fought with his gun, and when it was destroyed, took over another, moving from gun to gun, never ceasing his withering fire against the advancing hordes until reinforcements finally arrived.
Well,
hold on, I got one more thing. Then, forming a new line, he dauntlessly and aggressively led a bayonet charge, driving the enemy back and preventing a breakthrough in our lines. His great personal valor and unyielding devotion to duty were in keeping with the highest traditions of the U.S. Naval Service. Congressional Medal of Honor. Do you think he would have quit?
See, a lot of what he did, and it's really good, and I'm not saying that it's not, a lot of what he did, they train us to do already.
Well, I don't know what you're talking. What do you mean they train you to do? Did you hear what the man did? He led a bayonet charge after being the only guy alive with a gun until reinforcements arrived, holding off this Japanese force.
I understand that, Mr. Henry, but that's standard. That I could do that if...
The guy won a Congressional Medal of Honor. What do you mean you could do that?
I'm saying he didn't have to do nerve gas. Do you think he'd... See, he probably would have wanted to go home. But I already did a lot of what you're... I'm trying to say I did a lot of what you're saying.
What do you mean you did a lot of that? The guy did it against the Japanese in World War II. When did you do it?
No, we simulated it on the PlayStation 2. They have computer simulations. And in the computer simulations, I held off two two. It's a SOCOM game, which is a command game.
On a computer video game, you did what?
I held off two Japanese divisions with a bayonet.
Oh, baloney. Your game's screwy. Two divisions, huh?
Or, I mean, I'm sorry, two squads. But
a squad? Do you know that a squad is about 16 guys? You know what a division is? It's thousands. Which was it, a squad or a division?
I don't recall, but...
And it ain't the same thing as being on a video game. This guy did it for real. 1-800-449-8686. Bob, go ahead. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, how are you?
Yes, fine, sir.
I got one question to ask you. Now, I have experience being in combat. But my point is this. Suppose you were with a group of five guys, and you are on my right flank, and I'm on your left flank with a group of another five guys.
What do you mean by flank?
Well, on one side of the line, on let's say 100 yards apart, I'm to the left of you, and you're on my right side, okay? And your job is to cover that whole right side, and my job is to cover the left side. And then we meet in the middle at one point, because the enemy is in front of us. My point is this. Suppose I wanted to, four of my guys out of the five wanted to stop what they're doing because of your resolution that you want to see enacted. That means your whole left side is now not protected, so you can get hit by the enemy because I didn't want to move on forward.
Well, but are you the superior officer?
That's not my point.
Because
my
you
point
can't
is
quit.
This.
You can't
if you're
quit.
Dependent, listen to me, RC. If you're dependent upon other guys because you want to fight now, you're not one of these guys that want to stop. You want to do your job and continue on. If you're dependent upon someone else to watch your right flank because you got to do a job and not worry about it, and if they decide not to do it because they got scared or for whatever reason it got too hot, that means you're left out, you're exposed, you're
alone.
But then
you could get another guy.
You're going to get killed.
You could get another guy to go over there.
What if he quits?
Then you get.
The point is, you're already in the action.
That's what they call reinforcement.
Excuse me.
That's what they call.
It's starting to happen. You have to depend upon others to survive.
Hey, Bob, this is Bob. Bob, this is Phil Henry. You're a veteran?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I want to bring another vet on the line. I've got a gentleman, Lloyd.
Yes, sir.
Lloyd, where were you in combat?
Yes, sir. I was with the United States Navy at Chosin Reservoir, sir, Korean Theater. We pulled the Marines out of there. It was a hell of a fight. But I called up because I want to talk to this young man.
Well, you know, I have another veteran on the line. This is Bob. Bob, say hello to Lloyd.
Hi, Lloyd.
Your name is Bob?
Bob.
Yes, sir. How are you, sir?
Good.
Now, Bob's a vet.
Well, I want to talk to this kid because I'll tell you something, son. If you ever got into combat with me, I wouldn't be as polite as some of these people. I'd tie you know what I'd do? I'd take the strap from my rifle and I'd twist it around your neck, and then I'd just pull you along until you died.
Jesus, what an asshole!
Oh, I'm an asshole. You would deserve. Is he allowed to call?
Let's watch the language, okay?
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Lloyd, you have to understand one thing.
Yes, sir.
If he wanted to do what he wanted to do, everyone is scared.
You know,
okay, you worry about anthrax and biological weapons.
Whatever.
I worry about booby traps and ambushes. So it's all the same thing. You could be killed.
Hey, Bob, Let me finish. I take my sidearm out and I blow his brains out.
No, that's not the point, Lloyd. That's not the point. The thing he doesn't understand is, and you agree with me,
you guys are wacky.
When you're scared, RC, listen up. When you're scared, you're scared. You get to the point where you're so scared where you don't worry about it anymore and you end up saving your own life.
Okay,
and others.
Can I ask a question? I'm hypoglycemic, which means I have blood sugar problems. What do I do if I get faint or dizzy? What are you talking about?
You wouldn't be in combat because you wouldn't be physically prepared for it.
I tell you what I'd do. If you fainted, I'd kick you until you got up.
If you have a blood sugar level or a handicap of some sort, allergies,
they wouldn't let you in combat.
In a combat position.
Let me tell you,
you'd be in administration.
Let me tell you what I'd do. I'd tie a rope around your genitals and I'd drag you to Baghdad with me. You wouldn't have a chance to leave. You think you're so tough. I tell you, and another thing that I would do, I'd take my boot and I'd drive it right through your head till the brains come out the back. You make me sick.
That's not the answer to the riddle we're talking about here, Lloyd.
What if it gets darker? I drop my glasses.
I'd bend you over and Vaseline your rear end.
Okay, Jesus, you guys.
No, this is the kind of thing that I think our country weakens our country in the face of what we're going up against here, Phil, the next few weeks.
Go ahead, Bob.
All right, my point is this. First of all, the technology that our servicemen have today aren't going to go through what maybe what Lloyd or I went through, because we didn't have the smart bombs and all that. You know, and everything was a circle where I was. As a Vietnam vet, you didn't have a front line. It was a circle. Outside the circle was no man's land. Inside the circle was your own little haven. The point I'm trying to get at with RC
is no man over there.
You're going to have your technology in the warfare in Iraq is going to be so more protected than most of us could ever dream about.
That's right. That's right. You guys are going to have all kinds of gear. You've got all kinds of medical assistance that the guys didn't have in Vietnam.
Your biggest enemy out there, it's not going to be Iraq. It's going to be by a misfired gun, by our own weapons, by accident.
There's more
casualties in today's war by our own fire than by the enemy's fire.
I don't know about that. Well, you listen to the man because he's got experience, you turd. You've got a filthy...
Okay, hold on. I want to bring Beverly on. Hi, Beverly, you there?
Yeah.
And you're the daughter you have a daughter in the Army.
Yes, I do, sir.
Okay, this would be a very good thing for you to listen to, RC.
Well, with all due respect, she's got a daughter?
Yeah.
Well, her daughter will probably only be typing or something. Will you listen to this little piece of garbage?
I don't think so.
Hey, Phil, I'm going to let you go. Okay?
All right, Bob, thanks a lot.
I'll listen on the radio, but thanks for the time.
God bless you, Bob.
All right. Take care, Lloyd.
Yeah. Well, did you hang up on the lady?
No, she's here.
No,
go ahead,
I'm
Beverly.
I'm here. I just want to make my point because I've been listening to this program, and I'm just appalled at this kid.
What?
And what kind of kid is this?
I want to be able to go home if it's scary. What a pussy.
Listen, young man, listen to me. If you are afraid to be in the military, then I suggest you get out now.
I'm not afraid. I don't mind going over and I'll eat my own guts. But what if I'm trapped and surrounded? What if you're trapped and surrounded? Then you do the best you can till reinforcements arrive, you little piece of walking excrement.
You act like you are the only one going over there or something, and you're not.
Well,
if my daughter goes over, do you think she'd raise her hand and say, oh, I'm afraid I want to go home?
Maybe.
What kind of person does this? And another thing.
If I got stuck in a foxhole with your daughter...
My daughter would protect you with her life, mister. And
what if we became romantically involved?
Yeah, what are you talking about, you idiot? You're in the middle of a freaking war.
That's right. Well, you bring
you know something, son? You are a butt log with legs.
What?
Yeah. I just...
It's unbelievable. It's really... You know what, Beverly? Your daughter is in what, the Army?
She is.
And where's she stationed?
She's a sergeant, and she's at Fort Carson, Colorado.
Oh, she may hear us. We're on in Denver, Colorado, and in places in Colorado. What's her name? Beverly? No, your daughter's name is what?
Wendy.
Hey,
and, Wendy, I'm R.C. Semper Fi. What? You're not a Marine, you little walking load.
Anyway, this kid... And another thing I just want to say...
Yes, ma'am.
How dare you insult Colin Powell? How dare you do this? And you're just a cadet, and you're talking to this man about this man like that? If I was Colin Powell, kid, you'd be on your way out now.
Wait a minute. His name's Colin, not Colin.
Colin.
What you put your load through. But I
would
think...
you'd be on your way out.
Oh, man.
Because you're very...
Would your daughter go see Lord of the Rings with me? Are you making fun of this woman? I'm sorry? Are you making fun of this lady? Because I'll tell you something, son. This woman gave birth to a young lady who is serving her country. And Beverly, my name is Lloyd, by the way. Forgive me for not introducing myself.
Yes,
I was in the Korean conflict. I've been out in California now 40 years. Where are you living?
I live in Vermont.
Oh, really? Where? I was in Vermont once skiing. It's lovely there.
I live in a small town called Georgia, about 28 miles from Burlington.
Do you guys know that Colin Powell comes from Uranus? All right, I'm going to kill this piece of garbage. Where do you live?
All right, okay. Beverly, you're very kind to call us and to give us that piece of personal insight.
Beverly, are you married? And I don't mean to be forward.
Yes, I am.
Oh, you
my
are?
Husband's
right. Well,
my
so
husband's
am I. So am I, but I didn't think it mattered.
Okay.
My husband's a firefighter, and I am too.
He does what?
He's a firefighter.
I'll bet he is.
And
he's a firefighter, really, in the...
Oh, okay.
He's a fireman. And I am,
yeah,
too. But I just want this kid to know my daughter may be going over there,
too. You got a big hose?
And
all right, you little punk. You dirty punk.
And I just hope people call and call and put this kid in his place.
Nah, we're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. Our country's in good hands, Beverly. Thank you very much for your call.
All right.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
Has he got a big hose, huh?
Yeah, I said that. Too bad you can't come up with a funny line like that.
Boy, if I was in the same room with you.
Yeah, you'd probably want to make love to me, you perv.
You dirty little... Where is he, Mr. Hendry?
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, I want to kill him. Ha, 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 ha.
All right, well, I'll let you guys work it out. Okay, so there you go. Thank God that's just RC, because our guys aren't going to be quitting out there. What's that?
I'll bet this old guy's got gray ball hair.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, pure exhibitionism.
That was me doing the voice of R.C. Collins in that bit, by the way. We have now a flashback from yesterday's show. Ted Bell, who owns Ted's of Beverly Hills, which, by the way, you can get a Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt by going onto our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. I'm wearing a Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt today. It's royal blue and black. It's gorgeous. Anyway, yesterday Ted was on the show, and he had opened the third Ted's of Beverly Hills restaurant on Saturday in Walnut Creek, but because of the shuttle going down, he lost about 87% of business that he would ordinarily have because everybody was watching the news. He is demanding compensation from the government.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I just basically want to tell this guy, you really, it's totally unbelievable. How can you suggest that people go to your restaurant at a time like this? It's not an obligation
to
go to your restaurant.
Are you a business owner?
No, but there's no obligation. That's besides the point.
How could you possibly know what
that's besides the point. You can't blame the failure of your restaurant on something like this as a tragedy.
I'm simply saying my grand opening was on Saturday.
Well, that's fine, but
okay.
but you can't say.
Hold on, stop that. Stop that. We don't have enough time for this flashback, so we're gonna hold it over to the next hour. Is that fair? I think that's right. I think that's the decent thing to do, because it's funny, and I don't want to, you know. Well, Craig is my engineer, and he doesn't know how to read a clock. So what I'm going to do is do it next hour, okay? All right. We may kick the hour off with it. I don't know. In the meantime, I want to tell you about our website, philhendryshow.com. It's the best place to go for all information about the Phil Hendry Show. We have a links page. You know, we got, about Phil, show news, interviews. The best part about the Phil Hendry Show webpage is our audio archives. Our radio show, down through the years, has had a lot of its material pirated and put on a lot of different websites. The quality has been, at best, sometimes kind of iffy. We've been able to take real quality material from our own show, from our own archives, and put them on our website so that whatever the bit, you can hear it and hear it in its best possible audio sound. Go to our website, philhendryshow.com. If you want to pick up a backstage pass, you can do that. You become a member, and you are available. All of the audio is available to you. And the backstage pass is only $6.95 a month. So I think it's worth it to get all of our audio, whether it's the long form or the short form stuff, or it's the audio archive stuff. Go to the website, get a backstage pass, $6.95 a month, and it's yours. We also have a souvenir shop where you can pick up the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, our Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt, which is selling like hotcakes, man. Remember what Debbie said? That Jay Santos shirt. All those guys out there. And by the way, we've received two emails in a row from guys who woke up in their own vomit with their Jay Santos shirt ripped apart. I don't know what that's about. And some guys use it to wipe off with. Whatever. Just pick up your Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt. It's available on the Phil Henry Show website, philhenryshow.com.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Communist influenced.